23. Open your Bible to Psalm 23 tonight, and let's talk about another one of these compound names that describe our Lord in the Old Testament. Jehovah, I'm going to say Rohi, R-O-H-I. The name Jehovah Rohi, it might be pronounced Ra-A. And here's what it means. It means the Lord, my shepherd. The Lord, my shepherd. Jehovah Rohi. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for being so sweet and good to us and watching over us, meeting our needs, and getting us through the low valleys and across the rivers and taking us through the fire. We're thankful for everything you burned off of us that was extraneous and that we didn't need. We thank you for drawing us close to Christ and loving us and carrying us when we had to be carried and cared for us when we were weak. And we're just weak all the time, Lord, when it comes to spiritual things and needing you. So we're thankful that you're our strength and that we can be strong in the Lord in the power of your might. And we rejoice in the fact that your strength is made perfect in weakness. And we pray that you just live through us as someone prayed today and just have your will and way with us. Help us to desire the will of God and to pray like Jesus did in the garden, be real men and women and choose against the flesh and our own personal desires and say, not my will, but thine be done, and mean it. So draw us close to thee. And we surrender to you tonight. Pray you deliver the message and make this wonderful name a blessing to our hearts. Give us spiritual insight into it. And help us to see all the wonderful benefits that we have in Christ and having you as our shepherd. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This name, Jehovah Rohi, is the name that David uses to begin what we refer to as the 23rd Psalm. No other name of Jehovah has brought more comfort to the hearts of God's people in either testament. No other phrase has rang so sweet in our ears as the expression, "The Lord is my shepherd." I mean, those are precious, precious words to us, God's children. Now, the primary meaning of the Hebrew word, Ra'ah or Rohi, is to be fed. It means to be fed. It also means to lead to pasture. So when we're talking about a shepherd, we're talking about a shepherd and what he does for sheep. We're the Lord's sheep. And the primary purpose of that shepherd is to feed us and to lead us. And it's the perfect word to describe a shepherd's care for his flock. The word also carries with it the idea of both rulership and companionship. Rulership and companionship. The idea that is that the shepherd is willing to associate with his sheep as a friend. He's our companion and as well as our ruler. So Jehovah, the Lord, is my companion and my friend. Boy, doesn't that describe our relationship with him? It should. I hope it does yours. The shepherd's work is described for us in Isaiah chapter 40. You can turn there, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11. Isaiah 40 and verse 11 this time. We're real familiar with the verses 28 through 31 in the 40th chapter of Isaiah. We're probably familiar with verses 1, 2, and 3, or first couple verses there, and verse 3, where John the Baptist's words are found, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. But right in the middle of it, verse 11, we have this wonderful verse about shepherding. And this describes what a shepherd is and what he does. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. This is the Lord, talking about the Lord. Feed his flock, his people, like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those there with child. Now, hasn't the Lord picked you up in his arms on some occasions and held you close? Amen? And carried you for a while? Well, that's what a shepherd does, and he's a good shepherd to us. Everything that a shepherd is to his sheep, Jehovah is to his people. I thought that you might enjoy hearing this. This might be interesting to you. This is a little dated. It goes back probably, I don't know, 50, 60 years ago, maybe even before Israel became a nation. But listen to what a traveler to the Holy Land observed, I'm going to say 60, 70 years ago. He said this, matter of fact, when I went to the Holy Land in 1992, when we were taking a bus from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and you go down the Jericho Road, you know, of course it's super highway now, but you go past the Valley of the Shadow of Death and you see the countryside there. And we saw a shepherdess out on the rocks and on the hillsides with her sheep. It was a woman tending sheep. And right out there, boy, just like they did in biblical days. That was still going on in 1992. Now, this is probably a little bit before that, but here's what this traveler to the Holy Land observed. Quote, shepherding does not change much in Palestine, where the wild beasts may descend still upon unprotected sheep and suddenly destroy them. The Palestine shepherd lives night and day with his animals. He establishes a degree of intimacy with them, which is touching to observe. Here's what he observed. He calls them by their names, and they, knowing his voice and hearing his only, heed. He protects the sheep from thieves and preying animals who would devour them at night. By sleeping in the opening of the makeshift sheepfold, and they, sensing his watchfulness, fear no evil. He provides pasture and water even in the wilderness and in the presence of enemies, and they, casting all their anxiety upon him, are fed. The traveler closes by saying this, quote, there is a singular communion between the shepherd and his sheep, which after one has visited Palestine and observed it, makes the symbol of the good shepherd particularly apt and the 23rd Psalm strangely moving, unquote. Yes, it certainly does. We may have never owned a sheep or been a shepherd, but I guarantee you if you read the 23rd Psalm, you felt like a sheep and felt like the Lord is your shepherd if you're a Christian. Now, to me, the most significant word in that gentleman's account of the good shepherd or of a good shepherd and a sheep was the word intimacy. And the most precious possession that the sheep are capable of receiving and cultivating and enjoying, that'd be me and you, is the shepherd himself. That's the greatest gift. And the intimate knowledge and fellowship that grows out of that relationship between the shepherd and his sheep is just, how do you describe it? It's priceless. It's priceless. You couldn't put a price on a relationship with like that. I like the fact that Jehovah Rohi is not only the shepherd of his people, but he is my shepherd. I like that. And we can all personalize that psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord's the shepherd of each one of his people. And the relationship that the Lord carries on with each one of us is intensely personal. He knows all about us, our ups and downs, our strength, our weaknesses. He has intimate personal knowledge of each one of us. Of all the names of God in the Old Testament, none is as beautifully pictured and personified in the New Testament in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as this name. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. The most beautiful, appealing New Testament parables have to do with the great shepherd and his sheep. Turn with me, if you will, to Luke chapter 15. Let's read a few of them. I hope this be a blessing to your heart tonight and a comfort to you. Boy, it's good to have a shepherd, especially if you're a sheep. Luke chapter 15, verse 3. Now, here's Jesus and parable that relates that intimate personal relationship and knowledge that he has that exists between shepherd and sheep. Luke chapter 15, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Now, do you know of any thought more comforting or more satisfying as knowing that if you were out on a mountainside lost, that your Savior would come looking for you and he would search for you until he found you? It don't get any better than that to me. That's our Savior. That's our Shepherd. That's our Lord. There are no other parables or stories more tender and loving than those that express the Lord Jesus' love for his sheep. They're all precious. They're all like this. Let me give you another example. Turn to John chapter 15. John 15. I love these parables where the shepherd spoke about his relationship with his sheep. John chapter 10, verse 1. John 10, 1. Verily, verily, that means truly, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Boy, that puts a lot of religious folks in bad light, doesn't it? Someone trying to climb up some other way. Avoid the blood, avoid the cross, avoid the scriptures, avoid the gospel. Substituting things that aren't true in its place. Thieves and robbers. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. So I believe based on that verse, when the rapture comes, I believe you will hear your name called. I believe you will. The Bible, the phrase that's associated with the rapture in the scriptures, come up hither. Well, I think when the trumpet blows, you'll hear, Gary, come up hither. You'll hear Melissa, come up hither. I think we'll hear our name called because he knows his sheep and calls them by name, according to the scripture. Verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, he leads them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's going to get just real plain with them. If you were ever in the service and you didn't understand a command and you did something stupid, you probably had your sergeant or lieutenant or somebody get a hold of you by the collar and get you up real close and kind of go over things and review them for you again. And that's kind of what's happening here. We're kind of slow, aren't we? And the disciples were slow. We're like them. So the Lord gets real personal with them. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Making it plain. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. See how he's going back over what he said and explaining it, giving you the definition of things. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in, all right, get raptured, you go up with the Lord into heaven, and out, come back with him at the second advent, land with him on the Mount of Olives, follow him into Jerusalem, and find pasture, millennium. That's your future. You're going up, you're coming back, you're going to stay here for 1,000 years. You're going to enjoy a good fat green pasture in those 1,000 years just to enjoy living and reigning with Jesus Christ. Does that sound good to anybody? Amen. That sounds real good to me. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I'm amazed that people will follow him when that's what he's up to. The devil just wreaks all kinds of havoc with lives and gets people in trouble and complicates things beyond measure. And they just still follow him. Somebody does. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's how we know he's a good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. Who did Muhammad die for? Nobody. He never said, I'm going to lay down my life for you and die for you. He's all about making somebody else die, killing, murdering people. He's a killer, a military commander, and a murderer. Verse 12, he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. And as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Wow. That's my shepherd. That's the shepherd that David's talking about over there in the 23rd Psalm. Doesn't that passage give you a great confidence in your Lord's ability to take care of you? Doesn't that reveal his great strength and determination and the love that he has for his sheep? Is there anybody else you'd rather belong to? Not me. Man, what a privilege we have to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27, skip on down there to verse 27 with me. My sheep hear my voice. Amen, they sure do. And I know them, and they follow me. It's a good sign when you see people come to church and interested in their Bible and want to learn and come to listen and want to obey the Lord and find out what his will is for their life. They want to follow Jesus Christ. For one of the first things he said, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So I assume you all are here again tonight. I mean, you just keep coming back because you want to follow Jesus, see? That's the way it ought to be. When people really get saved, they want to follow the Lord. And they know his voice. And if you heard a voice up here that wasn't in tune with Jesus Christ, you wouldn't stick around here. You'd leave. I would. Some old cult member got up here and became pastor of a church I was attending. And I'd be out the door, man. I'd be looking for some place they love the Word of God and where it's preached and taught and where I can follow Jesus. Amen. We're getting to the place in America where America, the general population, doesn't know what a church is anymore. They think it's a building where there's a campus. They think it's a place where you drop off your kids and they have programs for them. Amen. This is what's coming to. They think you can bring any copy of what has the word Bible on its cover and it's okay. Whichever one you like best. And they think that, you know, it's all right to serve the Lord as long as you don't get too fanatical about it. And, you know, and we're forsaking the hymns and we're forsaking the scripture and we've turned our backs on God and look at our country. What'd you expect? Yeah. I give unto them, verse 28, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Thank you, Lord. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Well, I feel pretty good about that. I kind of feel secure in my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. God caring for and feeding and leading his sheep is a wonderful theme that you'll find throughout the scriptures. Turn with me, if you will, to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. Ezekiel, right before the book of Daniel. 34, verse 11. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. He's talking about Israel now, his sheep. But this is what a shepherd does. And will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel. He leads and feeds. He searches them out. He goes and gets them by the rivers and all the habitable places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture. This is what a good shepherd does. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. And there shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock. Look at that over and over again. Verse 14, I'll feed them. Verse 13, feed them. Verse 15, I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, cause them to rest, saith the Lord God. And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. Amen. That's the characteristics of a good shepherd. That's what a good shepherd is. That's what a good pastor would do. I pray all the time, Lord, I want to be a good pastor to our people at Calvary. And I want good, healthy sheep. And I want you to have good pasture and feed spiritually and be fat and healthy sheep. But I don't want you to be lazy. But I want you to be healthy, but not lazy. Amen? So that's what the Lord does. He feeds them and he leads them. The scriptures depict Jesus Christ. Boy, this will preach. Any of you preachers out there, you need an outline. Here's a good one. He's the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 25. And he's called the chief shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. And one day the Bible tells us the chief shepherd is going to appear, and he's going to reward those who served in that same capacity. They did a good job with the crown of life. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1 through 4. So he's the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the shepherd and bishop of our souls, and he's the chief shepherd. And that describes our shepherd, my shepherd, your shepherd, there in Psalm 23, and verse 1. Interestingly, the Lord Jesus Christ is uniquely qualified to be the great shepherd of the sheep because he himself first became a lamb. Isn't that interesting? John the Baptist recognized him in this capacity. You know the verse when he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Is not Jesus the lamb slain before the foundation of the world? Yeah. Do you think he knows something about sheep? Lord Jesus uniquely qualifies to be our Savior, having been both a lamb and a shepherd. Isaiah chapter 53, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought forth as a lamb." Interesting. "As a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth." As a lamb, Jesus subjected himself to his Father's will, even when it pleased his Father to bruise him. Look down there at verse 10 if you turn to Isaiah 53. "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him." His Father bruised him, allowed him to be bruised. And the Lord suffered it. He put up with it. He trusted his Father in what was happening, even though it may not even made sense to him at the time. "It pleased the Father to bruise him, make his soul an offering for sin." The tender, loving care and the work of a shepherd has never been more beautifully or accurately described than in the 23rd Psalm. There's no way you can improve on it. That's one of the greatest pieces of literature that has ever been written, the words to that song. "My shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Oh, let's just read it together. It's just a blessing. Psalm 23, let's just go over it. When my dad got old and I had to go get him, bring him home to live with me, went down to Oklahoma and picked him up, and we were traveling back home, and by the time I got him packed up and on the road, we got about as far as Springfield, Missouri, and We got a hotel room, and I got him in bed and comfortable. He's about 80 years old. And I said, "You hungry, Dad?" He said, "Yeah." And I said, "I'm going to go get something to eat." And I went and got something to eat and brought it back. And we ate together that night. And that night we were laying in bed there, and he's across the room from me. And I heard him start to quote the 23rd Psalm. Kind of shocked me, to be honest about it. And he just started quoting it from memory. And before he got done quoting it, he was asleep. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow. Wow. My shepherd, your shepherd, he meets every need of his flock, every single one of them. The sheep of his pasture can truly say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." In other words, you won't lack anything, if the Lord's your shepherd. "I shall not want for food and drink, because he maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me beside the still waters. I shall not lack for refreshing, because he restoreth my soul. I won't lack for direction, because he leads me in the path of righteousness. I shall not fear, because he's with me, and his rod and his staff, they comfort me. I shall not lack for provision, even on foreign soil, because my shepherd prepares a table for me in the presence of mine enemies. I shall not want for love and attention, because my shepherd anoints my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. It's a joy to belong to my shepherd. Because I belong to this great shepherd, goodness and mercy are my constant companions. They've been following me, dogging my trail for a long time now. 57 years, goodness and mercy. And when life approaches its end, I'll not want for anything then, because all the time my good shepherd's been leading me home. We've been going somewhere. We're headed for home. And at the end of the day, I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Yeah. My shepherd has made provision for me for eternity. Not just here in this life. I mean forever. Forever. Revelation 7:17, the Word of God reads, "The Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." He knows exactly what sheep need. He's both the Lamb slain and worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. His name is Jehovah Rohi, the Lord, my shepherd. My shepherd. What a name. What a name. All right. That's the 11th name I think we've covered since we started these lessons. I was surprised. I enjoy preparing these and delivering them. And a fellow called me last week and hadn't heard from him for about 25 years. And he said he found me on the internet somehow. I don't know, man. I make a point to stay off of it. But he found me and tracked me down, called me. He said, "Brother Vance, you remember me?" His name is Greg Wilson. I said, "Yeah, I remember you." And we got to talking, and he was telling me about a message I delivered 25 years ago, and he's still thinking about. And he said, kind of got around to things. He asked me what I was preaching on. I said, "Well, we've been delivering a series of messages on Sunday night on the names of God in the Old Testament. And he said, it's funny you should mention that. And he had some connection with that and wanting to bring a series of messages on. He said, do you have any notes on that? I said, yeah, I got some notes on it. And he said, you think you could send them to me? And I said, well, you don't want my notes. I mean, some people speak in tongues. I write in tongues, and nobody could understand it but me. But I said, we do record them, and I'll send you a copy. And he said, oh, would you do that? And I said, yeah. And so I asked Matthias to run me off a copy of each of these lessons. He gave me 22. I didn't realize it, 22. None of you faint and falling off your pew. I would have, but you stack them, 22 of them on this series of messages. And I said, we're not through yet. This is the second to last one, unless we take some other names. But anyhow, I mailed them to him, and he texted me today. He said, I got them. And he's going to go through that and bring some messages to his church on the names of God. Boy, that's a rich study. You really learn some things about your Savior and the Lord and who he is and what he's capable of doing. You study his names. So let's not lose sight of the fact that that good church over in Philadelphia, there in Revelation chapter 3, he said, you have a little strength, and you've kept my word. That's, boy, we got to keep that old King James Bible, amen? We like the songs, the old hymns. Well, this is what produced them. They come out of this book. People knew the Lord from believing that book. And they kept his word, and they didn't deny his name.